This morning we're going to be talking about hypocrisy, the sin of hypocrisy and its consequences. This is an issue that we have heard a lot about. We've heard a lot of people using this term hypocrite. They like to use it sometimes as an excuse. You've heard the excuse that people make, well, you know, I don't want to go to that church over there because there are too many hypocrites there. Well, that may be true. There may be hypocrites everywhere you go, and I suspect there probably are. I don't doubt that there are not one or two, maybe more than that here. Not that I know of. Maybe they're playing the part better, you know, so good that it's hidden and you don't know it. But nevertheless, I suspect that there could be some hypocrites around, and so therefore it is still a problem today. But I want to take some time this morning and talk about this idea of hypocrisy. Those who, by the way, do use it as an excuse, you know, they say, well, there are hypocrites there. Well, the Bible says that hypocrites are going to be in hell. So if you don't want to serve the Lord and be faithful to Him and serve with the brethren of Christ, then you will be with hypocrites for all eternity. Either spend a little time with them now, or spend eternity with them in hell. I guess that's your choice. It's not a good excuse, and I wish that people would quit making it. But nonetheless, the sin of hypocrisy is real, and we need to find out what it is. So we're going to define it this morning, and we're going to use passages to exemplify the problem and discuss it so we can get a better understanding of what it is. Then we're going to apply it. We're going to make some applications of hypocrisy to our daily life. And let's examine ourselves, please. Let's do that as we think about these things. Let's think about ourselves. Let's look internally, not externally, and think about ourselves. And we're going to talk about some of the consequences of hypocrisy. What are some of the consequences of it? And there's no use in talking about a problem if we're not going to talk about what we can do to overcome it. So we're going to talk about the answer to the problem of hypocrisy. To define the term hypocrite from Merriam-Webster, a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion, a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. Well, we've seen this acted out not just in the religious realm, but also in the political realm. We see people making speeches. They're running for office. Maybe they're running for president. And they say all this stuff that they're going to do, and then, you know, behind the scenes, they do just the opposite. They don't do what they say they're going to do. They don't keep their promises. They haven't kept their promises in the past. And in fact, I looked up hypocrite on the internet. And the first several that came up, well, there were some referring to President Bush as a hypocrite. Some of them referring to Al Gore as a hypocrite because he's, pushing for this global warming idea, and then he has such a big house and such a nice car and all of this stuff. Isn't that hypocritical? And so anyway, it's a person who puts on airs. He puts on a show for people to see. He tries to make people believe that he's something different than what he is. In the Bible, the term is used. In fact, in the Old Testament, the word kaneth is used in Hebrew, which means hypocritical, godless, profane, a hypocrite, irreligious. And it always has that idea with it. The idea of being profane and irreligious, a godless person. They play like they're a godly person, but they're not really. They are ungodly to the core. In the New Testament, the term, according to Thayer, one who answers an interpreter, an actor, stage player, a dissembler, pretender. And it is from the Greek word hypokrites, which, of course, we eventually get the term hypocrite. And there you see, if you want to make a list of those passages, you're, of course, free to do so. There are the list of passages where the term is found in the New Testament. So what is a hypocrite? May I say to you that a hypocrite is not just a Christian who's striving to live according to God's Word, but he stumbles every now and then. That's not a hypocrite. It's not a hypocrite, and he's not a hypocrite that is serving the Lord, and he's found in a bad place, and he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing. That in and of itself does not make him a hypocrite if that's not his normal way of life. Maybe he's just, you know, maybe he's making a mistake. Maybe he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing, and he'd gladly correct himself if it were pointed out to him. That's not a hypocrite according to the Bible. A hypocrite is a person who lives one way, that is his practice of life, but he wants to show or tell everybody that he's something else. That's a hypocrite. In fact, in our New Testament, let me get my Bible. I left it on the pew when I got up to lead singing. I got the songbook, but not my Bible. I need that, don't I? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is dealing with hypocrites. And he says in verse 1, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do." Now, what were they doing? They were saying, "Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm giving. I want you to take note. I want you to recognize me. I'm a charitable, godly person. I'm helping them. I'm benefiting the cause." They blew a trumpet. "Do not do like they do. Do not do like they do, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward." Their whole reward is what they receive before men and not God. Praying. In Matthew 6 and verse 5, he goes on. He says in verse 5, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward." What does a hypocrite do? He prays so everybody can see him pray, so that everybody will think he's a godly person. But what is he really? What is he on the inside? Verse 16. Jesus is talking about fasting here, and he says this, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." And of course, in all of these, he goes on and he tells us that we are to pray in secret, that we're to give in secret, and that we're to fast in secret. We're not to let everybody know what we're doing, because that's what the hypocrite does. He says, "Look at what I'm doing," so he can put on airs. He can appear to be righteous when he's really not. In chapter 7, Jesus again talks about hypocrites. In fact, verse 5 says, "Hypocrite." So we know who he's talking about here. Look at verse 1. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" In other words, how dare you look down your nose at somebody else? You think you're so high and righteous and godly when you're not. That's the kicker here. That's the key. They're not. They really think they are. They pretend like they are. And then they're looking down their nose at somebody else. First, they need to take care of themselves. They need to get themselves godly and righteous before they start condemning somebody else. And Jesus is not saying we should not help somebody in their sin and help them to understand what their sin is. That's not the point at all. Jesus is not talking about condemning sin, because we're told in the Scripture to condemn sin. And what in this context, he's talking about the hypocrite who thinks himself as someone that is holy and righteous and in a position of judgment in regard to somebody else, and he's condemning them because they have made a mistake, and here he is with this sin that is so deep in his soul. "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye." He's got a big beam in his eye. Worship, verses 7 through 9 of chapter 15. Jesus again uses this term hypocrite, and he is, in fact, throughout this context, he's using the term hypocrite in relationship to the scribes and Pharisees. And in verse 7, he says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" They were teaching doctrines as commandments of men. That made their worship vain, but so did their sin that reached all the way down into their heart. Listen, "but their heart is far from me." their worship was vain because they didn't care about what God thought. They were more concerned about what men thought. And they did not have their inside pure, but it was their externals that they were trying to go through. And in chapter 16, Jesus is dealing with the doctrine of the hypocrites. These hypocrites, in verses 1 through 12 of chapter 16, they knew what the Scripture said. They understood what the prophets said as far as reading the words. They didn't understand the meaning, of course. But they prided themselves in understanding those things. They prided themselves in being Jews and special people called out by God. And they prided themselves on understanding the Scripture when they really didn't. But then, Jesus says, look, you can tell by the seasons what's going to happen. You can tell when rain's coming. But you can't tell that I am the Son of Man. You cannot tell that I am the Messiah. You cannot tell that I am the fulfillment of the prophecies which you claim that you understand. And the same thing is true, perhaps, of some of us when we ourselves, we think that we have all the doctrine figured out. We need to realize that we may, but that's not the issue, really. The question is we need to continue to seek for the truth and continue to search for the truth to make sure that we're right. And the doctrine, the truth, is what needs to be believed and taught. And these people, they thought that they had it when they didn't. We need to be concerned about whether or not we truly have it and be as the Bereans and continually search the Scriptures to see whether we be in the faith. And of course, the application of the Scripture. The same point is made in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. The doctrine of the scribes and Pharisees, they were hypocrites. We need to realize that hypocrisy is a grave sin in the sight of God. In fact, so much that in Matthew the 23rd chapter, Jesus goes into great depth in describing this sin. In Matthew chapter 23... beginning in verse 1, actually, verses 1 through 4. The scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus said, sit in Moses' seat. And we're not going to read all of this, but I just want to bring out the key points. He placed them in a position of authority. But what did they do with that authority? They abused it. You see, they commanded people to do this and do that, but they would not lift so much as their finger to do those things. What kind of examples were they? They weren't examples at all. In fact, they were people who said and did not. They loved the praises of men, verses 5 through 12, which we've actually already seen. This is a common characteristic of a hypocrite. He is more concerned about what people think about him than what the Lord thinks about him. An impediment to others entering into the kingdom. Look at verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. They are an impediment. And also, they were religious, but yet unjust in their conduct. They appeared to be righteous. Look at verse 14. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. On one hand, they're praying, they're making long, probably beautiful prayers. But yet, on the other hand, they're despising widows. On the other hand, they're despising the needs of others. They're not really serving the Lord, are they? They were a bad influence on new converts. Verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. When he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. You go out and you win someone to your cause, and they become worse than you. Hypocrites. Well, that's the result or the consequence of being hypocritical. They were foolish and blind and religious in their religious duties. Verses 16 through 22. When it came to the temple, they would bind the smallest of matters, but then at the same time, they would turn around and make the most grievous sins and errors. And they did not have the love, the justice, the mercy, the faith that they needed to have. Verse 23. But they would bind the giving of the mint, the anise, and cumin. So they lacked judgment, mercy, and faith. But yet, they were very particular on the small matters. They strained out a gnat and swallowed a camel. They magnified the petty errors of others while overlooking the beam in their own eyes. And externally, they were meticulously religious while internally very, very wicked. There in verse 25, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the dish," or the cup and dish, "but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." And they praised the martyred prophets. But they persecuted Christ and His apostles. How hypocritical. They praised the prophets that foretold of Jesus Christ, and then they crucified the one who came to fulfill the prophecies. How hypocritical that was. So the sin of hypocrisy can be seen in the life of the scribes and Pharisees. Religious people, let's remember that. They were religious people. In fact, they were the leaders of the Jews at that time. They were the leaders of the religious society. And yet they were hypocritical. In fact, I think there's one passage in particular that exemplifies this concept or this idea that they held to, this attitude, I guess I should say. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. We read this. "Also He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, and they were righteous and despised others." Now, I want you to think about this. Here you have a person who thinks he is righteous, but yet he despises others. What is he? What is he? He's a hypocrite, isn't he? That's what he is. He thinks he's righteous, but yet he despises others. "Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector." Now, the Pharisee, he's the godly man. He's the righteous man. He's the one who is the leader of the religious world at that time. And he and this tax collector, a publican, goes up to pray. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." That's interesting. I've always found that interesting when I read that. He prayed thus with himself. "God, I thank You that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess," and he goes on. Now, I want you to think about that. Here you have a fellow that he's praying thus with himself. Look, Lord, what all I've done. Look at what all I do for You. I'm glad I'm not like this tax collector. Now, this tax collector would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but pray to the Lord for forgiveness, "for I am a sinner." Now, one fellow went to his house blessed. Which was it? It wasn't the Pharisee who stood and prayed with himself, saying, "Look, God, what all I do for You." It was the man who came and confessed sin and humbled himself before the Lord. One thinks he's righteous when he's not, and he despises others. He's a hypocrite. Now, let's think about some applications of this. What about the Sunday-only Christian? What do I mean by that? I mean somebody who comes to church on Sunday. They're pretty regular in their attendance. And they come, and they sing, and they pray, and they listen to lessons, and they partake of the Lord's Supper. And they're nice to everybody, shake hands with everybody, but yet, when services are over, especially come Monday when it's work time, and they get up and they go to work, they curse, they do all the other worldly things with the people that they work with. You cannot tell by looking at this man from Monday through Saturday that he's a Christian. You couldn't tell it, you'd never guess, because he's living like the world. He goes to parties on Friday night. He goes to Bad Bob's, or he goes to Electric Cowboy or places like that. He drinks and does those kinds of things throughout the week. But then comes Sunday. Where is he? He's in his regular spot. He's singing songs and praises to the Lord. And he's praying to the Lord, or at least he's... And he may even be leading prayers. He may be serving on the Lord's table. He may be singing and all those things in a position where people can see him. He may be preaching. But yet during the week, he's going off and he's doing all those kinds of things. Drinking and carrying on and carousing around. He's a Sunday-only Christian. What is that? That's a hypocrite, isn't it? Or the Christian that possesses hidden sin. In other words, he is living a life, or she is living a life, in which there's sin present, and they continually practice it. It's not something that they've done in their past, and it's just something that nobody else knows about, and they've made that right with God, and they're living faithfully. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody who's living a double life. They're living a life of sin, but yet nobody knows about it. I read an article here a while back about a fellow who had been married in one part of the country, and he had a wife in another part of the country. He had two wives going at the same time. He was traveling around back and forth between the two, and neither of them knew about it. This man had a double life. It's possible to live a double life. Really, that's what a hypocrite is. He's living a double life. He is before one group of people proclaiming to be this when he's not. He's a play actor. He has hidden sin. Maybe there's a sin in your life that you haven't repented of, that you're still living with. You practice. And maybe it's something that nobody else knows about, but then you pretend to be godly when you're not. What is that? Isn't that a hypocrite? Maybe nobody knows about it. Maybe only one or two other people know about it. But you're continuing in that sin. You need to quit it. You need to repent of it. Or the judgmental Christian. And I'm not talking about the Christian who makes proper judgments regarding what's right and what's wrong. He sees something that's wrong and he says, that's wrong. That's sin. And I understand that. And I condemn that. I condemn that practice. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about the fellow like in Matthew chapter 7 who is a hypocrite, who has the beam in his eye, and he's trying to remove the speck out of his brother's eye. He's a judgmental Christian. He's running around condemning denominational folks. They're wrong. They're in sin. While he's just as denominational as they are, a sectarian in spirit as they are. A fellow who is running around condemning someone who's committing one particular sin when he himself is committing a sin. Now all sin's the same, isn't it? And he's living in this sin and he's condemning everybody else when he needs to repent himself. You need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of your own life. And by the way, most hypocrites are judgmental. They're very quick to point their finger at other people, aren't they? Instead of pointing it back at themselves. Of course, I've always been taught, you know, you're pointing your finger, you've got three pointing back at you. We need to be careful about that. Or the materialistic Christian, the Christian who loves the world, the material things of the world. That's where his focus is. That's where his main objectives lie. But yet, come Sunday morning, he wants to present himself as a faithful child of God. But yet his heart, in fact, while he's even sitting in the pew, maybe we're observing the Lord's Supper, and instead of focusing upon the Lord's death, he's thinking about the ball game after a while. Or she's thinking about the sale that's on down at JCPenney's. We've got our mind in the wrong place. And that's a continual thing. I'm not talking about a lapse or a slip. I'm talking about that's the way we normally behave, okay? I'm talking about someone who that's their normal behavior. Always thinking about materialistic things instead of thinking about the Lord, but then they pretend to be so faithful. Or the doctrinally correct but unloving Christian. We need to focus on doctrine. We need to think seriously about doctrine. Doctrine is important, despite what some folks say. But what about the Christian who is doctrinally correct? Okay, he takes the right stance against Calvinism, against premillennialism. He takes the right stance against all these isms that are out there. He's standing for the truth in his teaching. But yet, he's unloving. He's unkind. He's unjust, unfair. What about that fellow? Isn't that exactly the kind of people that Jesus was condemning, the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23? In Matthew chapter 15 and other passages where Jesus, especially there in chapter 23, you know, where he talks about what they tell you to do, you do. But don't do like they do. They're doctrinally correct, but yet they're unloving. They're unkind. They're unjust. Or the external but not internal Christian. Of course, all of these would apply here. Externally, we appear to be a Christian, but internally, we're really not. Is it possible that local churches all over the land could be filled with unconverted people? And that's really what we're talking about, isn't it? People who appear to be righteous, appear to be Christians, but yet they're really unconverted. They really haven't been changed internally, inside. They're not really the kind of people that the Lord would want them to be. They really have not taken upon themselves the image of Christ. They have not become like Jesus inside. That song that we sang before the lesson, "Oh, to be like thee." That's really the objectivity of being a Christian, isn't it? That's the object. To become like Him. Inside and out. So, the sin of hypocrisy, I think, is still alive and well today. And those who profess to be Christians, they have bumper stickers, you know, that say, "Oh, how I love Jesus," when they don't do what He says. What is that? That's a hypocrite. Now, it's interesting how people can point their fingers and say, "Well, you know, that group, your group especially, is full of a bunch of hypocrites," when they themselves are hypocritical. They say they love Jesus, but they won't do what the Lord says. That's hypocritical. So we need to be careful about these things. What are some consequences of hypocrisy? Well, we've already mentioned vain worship of Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. Our worship, when we are hypocritical, when our heart's not there, internally, when we're not serving the Lord, our worship isn't accepted by Him. And we need to stop deceiving ourselves into thinking that it is. Because it's not. The Lord's not going to accept that kind of worship. He wants us to worship in John chapter 4, verse 24, in spirit and truth. We may have the truth part down, but we have the in spirit part down. Are we worshiping in both spirit and truth? Our worship is vain if we are being hypocritical. Or self-deception, seared conscience. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 2, notice what is said here, verse 2, "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." Speaking lies in hypocrisy. And they're so deceived, they deceive themselves, and they're teaching and preaching and practicing things that are contrary to God's will, and they've so seared their consciences that they don't get it. They don't see it. They don't recognize it as being wrong. Matthew 24 and verse 51. What are the consequences of hypocrisy? Being lost. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 51, Jesus talks about those who are lost by saying, "And will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Turns people away from the truth. Matthew 23 and verse 13. Shutting the door to those who would enter instead of being an encouragement. In fact, let's turn over. We've read Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13 already. If you'd like to go back and read that again, you may, but I want to turn over to Romans chapter 2. In Romans, the second chapter, the Lord's talking about the Jews here in the book of Romans chapter 2. Look down to verse 20. Let me back up to verse 17. Just read verses 17 to 24. "Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are excellent being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind and light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, 'Do not commit adultery,' do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you defile temples or rob temples? Verse 23, you who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law?" Listen to verse 24 now. "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written." Because of their hypocrisy, the Gentiles were condemning the truth. They were blaspheming against the truth. And what do you think about Christians today who hold up the truth and they say, look, this is what the Bible says, this is the truth, but then they don't live accordingly? What does the world say in response to that? Do they blaspheme? Do we give them occasion to blaspheme against the truth like the Jews did? And destroys converts. We may, by arguing for the truth, bring people in, and if they come in and they see the hypocrisy that may be present, perceived as something that is just perceived in their own mind or in reality, then it certainly can destroy them. This is a serious, serious sin, and that's what I'm trying to get across to you. It makes our worship vain. It makes our conscience seared. It causes us to be lost. And those things deal with ourselves. But what about its effect on others? How does it affect us trying to bring people into the body of Christ? We need to be genuine. We need to be real. And that is the truth of it. That's the reality of it. Now, how do we overcome? Let's say that we have a hypocrite in the audience this morning, per se. How do we overcome that? How are we victorious over it? Well, negatively, first of all, it's not by closing our eyes to reality and continuing the way that we are. It's not by just closing our eyes to the truth when it's pointed out to us. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not happy with me right now. Well, that's a shame. But the reality is, don't close your eyes to this. I want you to think about it. Because you're not going to help yourself by closing your eyes. That's what happened to the Jews in Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. They had blinded their eyes. They had closed their eyes. Their ears they had stopped up, and their eyes they had closed. Their hearts were not receptive to the truth of the parables that Jesus taught there in Matthew 13. Not by coming out of the closet, but yet continuing in the sin. For example, someone says, well, I'm not a hypocrite. And they come out and they say, I am a homosexual. And I'm coming out of the closet. And they make their boast and say, look, I'm not being hypocritical, I'm being true to myself. Well, you're being a sinner. That's what a homosexual is. He's a sinner. As he continues in that sin, he continues in a sinful state separated from God. And he will be lost. No question about that. So the answer isn't just coming out and confessing it and saying, okay, I'm this or I'm that and I'm not a hypocrite, but I'm going to continue in my sin. No. That doesn't settle the problem, does it? Doesn't fix it at all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, such were some of you. The Apostle Paul listed a whole list of things there. Fornication, adultery, idolatry, homosexuality, effeminate. All these things, he says, are sinful. And he says, such were some of you. They had changed. They had come out of those things. They couldn't continue in those things and continue to be and be Christians. They had to change. Had to change what they were doing. They had to stop their sinning. And we do not overcome hypocrisy by not giving or by giving up and saying, "Look, I can't be victorious over that. I can't change. I can't do any better." The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 that hypocrisy is one of the things that we are to put off. So we can put it off. We can put it away. Okay, how do we overcome hypocrisy? I'm going to put all these up there at one time. And I want you to think about these things. Number one, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be true with ourselves. We have to be true and honest with what God says about us. We have to look into the Scripture to try to find out what God says about us. So it requires honesty, humility, and examination. We have to accept what God says. We have to be humble enough to accept that and to apply it to our lives and be honest with ourselves. We have to recognize ourselves as God sees us. We need to look into the mirror of God's Word and see ourselves as God sees us. Be as the Bereans and search the Scriptures daily to see whether those things that we're taught are so. And we need to confess our sin. Wherever we find ourselves incompatible with God's Word, we need to confess. We need to get down on our knees in humility and say, I am wrong. I need to confess. If I am a hypocrite, I need to confess that. And I need to repent. That means to have a change of mind regarding that. And I need to obey from the heart the Lord's instructions. I need to become genuine. Stop make-believing that you're a Christian when you're not. Now, the answer is not, well, okay, I'll stop making believe I'm a Christian. I'll just not be a Christian. That's not the answer. The answer is, repent. That's the answer. And obey the Lord from the heart. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. In fact, what we have here is a converted person, a changed person. That's what you need to become, a changed person. And the gospel can change you. The power is there in the gospel to make you a different person. Honesty. Are you an honest individual? Are you willing to accept the truth regarding yourself and your standing with God? Are you humble enough to accept the truth? To be taught? Are you teachable by God? Are you willing to examine yourself in the light of God's Word and to recognize your sin? Are you going to be honest enough to do that and be willing to confess and repent and obey the Lord? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Hypocrisy, lay it aside. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Look at verse 26. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup, and the outside of them may be clean also. What does a hypocrite need to do? He needs to cleanse the inside of the cup. He needs to clean himself up on the inside. He needs to become honest. He needs to become humble, and he needs to be self-corrected by the Lord's will, of course. In James 3 and verses 11 through 18, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Well, no. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and water fresh. Salt water and fresh. So, we need to cleanse the inside. Cleanse the source. Then we will no longer be a hypocrite. Hypocrisy is a dangerous, dangerous sin. It doesn't just affect you. It affects those that are around you. It affects your relationship with others and trying to convert people to the gospel of Christ through the gospel. And it affects those who may come in and see you and be converted, but yet they continue and they see the hypocrisy and they are turned away because of it. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Are you a hypocrite? Be honest with yourself. Are you a hypocrite? If so, repent and be converted. Don't go away angry or mad, but honestly and objectively consider your standing before God and make it right. Cleanse the inside of the cup, and the outside will be cleansed as well. Be a real child of God. And really, this is a challenge to everybody here this morning. We can all do this, can't we? This will apply to every one of us. Be a real child of God, both inside and out, every day. Every day. All of the time. Let's not put on this set of clothes for our attendance with the saints and then take those off and then we'll go through our regular life, our everyday life, being a worldly person. Can't do that. Let's be the same person every day. And let's make that a godly person every day. A person that serves the Lord, and our intention is to serve Him, to please Him in all things. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. And if you think that you can serve the Lord and be saved outside of Christ, well, you're wrong about that. And whether you look at members of this congregation or maybe other groups and they appear to be a hypocrite to you, don't let that be a hindrance to you obeying the truth. Because it's just as hypocritical to point your finger at them and say, I'm not going to obey the truth because they're hypocrites. That's just as hypocritical as they are. So, you're not helping yourself in that. Obey the gospel, become a child of God, and then work and serve with those who are faithful. And help us as we strive to serve the Lord. Maybe you are here and you're not a Christian. Repent and be baptized. Be converted. And then serve the Lord. If you are here and you're a Christian, then please think about these things. Are you a hypocrite? Repent if you are. If you're not, then let's continue to grow and improve and increase in our knowledge and our understanding of God's Word. And let's help others to overcome any sin and problem that they may have in their life and be a strength, source of strength and encouragement to them. If you're hearing your subject to the Lord's invitation in any way this morning, we ask you, we plead with you, take advantage of the opportunity that you have and serve the Lord starting today. Won't you come together and stand and sing?